Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be the views of our guest, Pastor David Whitney. So far, I don't know whether we're going to be able to get him out right now. All right. Well, anyway, hopefully we're going to be able to get him very shortly. But right now, as we're waiting to get things lined up, why, I wanted to talk about an article I had read this evening before coming on the radio. It was a speech that had been given by Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And Clarence Thomas had actually addressing a group of students at an institute had been talking about the Constitution and how our ideas had changed about the nature of government. And starting out with a statement by John Kennedy, ask not what you can do for your country, but not your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And he sort of paraphrased that, well, what can the government do for me? I'm entitled to it. And then went on to point out that the miracle of America was the fact that the power of the central authority was to be limited by the chains of the Constitution. And that basically that the people who founded this country believed that you could never trust government with power. And you should never have the Supreme Court be able to simply do whatever they wanted to do. They had to adhere to the writings of our founders. The founders were the source of the freedom that we had, and they feared government power. And so, really, as I read that, it's so refreshing. And then I see what they're doing in Washington today. We have all these members of Congress and members of the Senate who've sworn to uphold the Constitution. And then, of course, they've appropriated, as you know, $850 billion to give to the bankers, to enrich the bankers. I mean, we were talking about giving $25 billion to Goldman Sachs Company, from which Henry Paulson came. He was the CEO there. And so Goldman Sachs is going to give $25 billion to about 100 of their executives, just divide up the loot. We're putting the money out. And where in the world did Congress get the right to appropriate that money to give to Henry Paulson, to give to his buddies? And this is a bailout for Wall Street. It wasn't at all to help the little guy. And certainly people are going to continue losing their homes just like they did before. And now they're talking about coming up with another $150 billion or so to buy up the money market funds. And then, of course, they're talking about buying up the liabilities of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and that's probably going to be $1 trillion or so there that bad loans are going to have to finance. And where's all the money coming from? Where's the $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion they just lent to the European central banks to help them out? And all throughout the world, we're actually appropriating money. It's coming out of nowhere. They're creating this money. They've forgotten that our money is supposed to be related to gold and silver. There are no limits to what they can do. They're impoverishing generations yet unborn. And where is the outcry? We have people who do not believe in the Constitution, who violated their oath of office. And now we need to get back to what is America really all about. And that's why we have Pastor David Whitney with us this evening. Good evening, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. Stan. Thank you. I was just speaking to a group of patriots down in Virginia this evening and talking exactly about that, the oath of office, and what that meant in our founder's clear understanding of it. It's a solemn vow before Almighty God to, in this case, to obey the terms of the covenant, our Constitution. And as you mentioned, that there's such egregious examples of people violating that very oath that, well, we know that God's going to get them on Judgment Day.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back, David. All right, David, go right ahead.
And that oath is part of our constitutional structure. Article 6 requires not only senators and congressmen, but everybody in the executive branch that takes an oath of office and the judicial branch, not just on the federal level, but also the state level, to take an oath to support the Constitution. And by support, of course, they don't mean just, well, we think the Constitution is a nice idea, but no, to obey the terms of the Constitution itself. And these people are getting away with such theft and such evil because the American people don't know the standard which they're to hold their elected officials. And that standard, of course, is our Constitution, which is based upon the principles elaborated in the Declaration of Independence, which is truly the foundation upon which everything else is built. And so when we step backwards and ask for the big picture and understand the big picture, we really need to start where the Declaration starts. There is a Creator God, and all of our rights come from that Creator God, not from any human government or any organization of men, but they come from God. And that's why, as our founder said, they're unalienable rights. You can't take them away. Actually, you can't even give those rights away or lose those rights. Those rights might be abused by evil civil governments. History is replete with examples of evil civil governments who have abused the rights of the people. But that doesn't change that they're God-given rights. The right to life, the right to liberty, the right to own property. And as I was sharing with our friends down in Virginia, our government is doing a miserable, miserable job, failing enormously at just those three God-given rights. The right to life, 50 million murdered babies, and euthanasia now on the grow and that kind of thing, and the right to liberty, well, hey, the Military Commissions Act and so many other egregious violations of it are everywhere you turn. And how about the right to property? The Supreme Court in Kelo v. New London basically said you can't own private property anymore in America. Government can take it anytime they want from you for whatever reason they want or no reason at all. So the very purpose for which civil government was founded is being violated by our current civil government. There is a Creator God. And our founders knew that God not only ordained the physical laws of the universe, you know, such as the laws of gravity or laws of chemistry or mathematics, and the laws are immutable. They do not change over time. They do not evolve or anything like that. Those are fixed, immutable laws. The Creator of the universe also made moral laws, and he didn't hide them from us so that we couldn't find them. He gave them to us in the Bible.
Hold that thought, David. And are we on a regular line? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, yes, this evening is this Pastor David Whitney. David, are you on a regular telephone line?
No, I'm on a cell phone right now.
All right, fine. Well, we'll have to put up with it. It's not as clear as a regular line, but that's all right. And I think Pastor Whitney was simply talking about the fact that the people in Washington, D.C., having sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution, are violating that oath. It's not very hard to see what the Constitution says. It's very simply written. It's very explicit. These people have all taken an oath, a promise before God they would obey the Constitution, and most of them are not obeying the Constitution or violating their oath before God. We swear on the President with his hand on the Constitution. And that, of course, he consistently violates the Constitution, as, of course, President Bush did when he signed the McCain-Feingold bill. And his statement was, I know it's unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court will take care of that. Why would he sign something that was unconstitutional when he swore to uphold the Constitution? What sort of God, certainly, does he believe our God is? Does he believe you can break your oath of office and then just say, well, somebody else will take care of it? And the same thing holds true with so many of our legislators. Well, David Sidney is talking about the background of our Declaration of Independence. Because the Declaration of Independence is the document which is the forerunner to the Constitution, is referred to in the Constitution, and was the very foundation upon which the Constitution and its authority was founded. So go ahead, David.
Well, when you look at what the Declaration talks about, it lists 28 reasons why the colonies were saying that the king, having violated God's law, having violated their Englishmen's rights that were secured by the English Constitution, that the king no longer was fit to be the ruler of a free people. Very interesting idea that the people can evaluate their rulers and determine if their rulers are abiding by the law of God, the supreme law of the universe, abiding by the Constitution, and then a little bit different. We have a written Constitution, which is a great blessing. Great Britain did not have a written Constitution, but they had a Constitution that was ensconced in their common law, and they clearly knew the king was violating that common law. The king had broken the charters that each of the colonies, all 13 colonies, had a separate charter with the king, and he'd broken those. So they knew the king, being a lawbreaker and being one who was not committed to protecting and preserving their God-given rights, that the king was unfit to be the ruler of a free people. And so we today ought to examine our own government and evaluate it on the basis of God's law. Is it fulfilling the purposes for which God ordained human civil government to protect our God-given rights? And no. And so many people would say, well, then, David, what are you advocating? You advocating a revolution? Not at all. I'm just advocating a restoration, that is, returning to the standard that our founders established in the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. As you said, it's not that complicated. Any American who has a basic education can understand these documents, and we can clearly see that it's not only the courts, but the legislature and the executive branches of all levels of government have twisted, distorted, and abused these founding documents so that they're almost unrecognizable. When they, you know, when they say that the pieces of legislation they're proposing are fine, they're lying to us because they know better. I mean, they're not ignorant people that are elected to office. But they know that most Americans are ignorant of the founding documents and unaware of what the limitations our Constitution and Bill of Rights place upon the federal government. And I like what Thomas Jefferson once said, that anyone who desires to be ignorant and free desires what never was and never will be. So if we as people don't learn these founding documents and don't understand them, then we cannot hold our elected officials accountable to the standard and to restore and recover our constitutional republic.
I certainly agree with you, and I think it's vitally important that people understand that that is our government, not the government that's been taken away by the very wicked people working within occult and secret and semi-secret organizations who seize power over our nation and control both political parties and the media and the central bank and make mockery, of course, of our constitutional system. I'm sure they sit around and laugh at how stupid the people are who obey them, when, of course, they are violating the law. We have lawbreakers at the highest levels of our government. Why? Because our government is based upon the Constitution, and they simply treat it as if it were of absolutely no use at all, and in no way restricts their power. They will do whatever they want to do, and they will use bribery, as they did, of course, with the recent legislation, the so-called bank bailout legislation, where, of course, they wanted $700 billion, and when they couldn't get Congress to go along with it, they put on an extra $150 billion and brought it back 4 days later to the House of Representatives with all sorts of bribes for the congressmen, and 55 congressmen changed their vote. They were threatened. Everything was done to intimidate the congressmen. They were told that there would be chaos in the streets. There'd be troops on the streets by Monday if they didn't pass that bill on Friday. And if you doubt that, you go to our website, radioliberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, certainly scroll down to other videos. At about the third or fourth link there is the talk given by Congressman Brad Sherman. who a member of Congress who tells how the members of Congress were threatened if they did not give the bankers and the elitists what they wanted, the $850 billion. And do you know that just today, or just yesterday, Ben Bernanke, head of the Federal Reserve, was back in Washington, D.C., talking to Congress saying, we're going to need more money, the $850 billion wasn't enough. Ladies and gentlemen, that's almost $1 trillion. It took 200 years to amass a $1 trillion debt between 1789 and the year 1980. Took 200 years to amass a $1 trillion in debt. They've already amassed $1 trillion of debt in the last 3 weeks. And where is the outcry from the American people? They don't understand that we have lawbreakers in Washington, D.C., our government, the government we have pledged our allegiance to, and they have pledged their allegiance to, is the Constitution. David, you pick up the story and tell them about our Constitution.
The basis of all that is law is really our founders' understanding that any law that is in violation of God's law is no law at all. And, of course, God's law is the Bible. And the Ten Commandments being the foundation of that. In fact, you find the Ten Commandments referred to there in the second sentence of the Declaration. After all, when the Declaration states that we have a God-given right to life, where do we find that God-given right to life? Well, in the Ten Commandments, when the Sixth Commandment says, thou shalt not kill, it means not only that you as an individual shall not, but government shall not. You have a right to life that God, your Creator, has given to you that no one can take away from you. Rightfully, that is, take away from you. And go to the second of the rights that government's instituted to secure, the right to liberty. And clearly, Scripture talks about the punishments and the evil of kidnapping, that man-stealing is called in Scripture, that you have a right to liberty and are not to be deprived of that right to liberty. God's Word says that. And then how about the third right secured by government? The Declaration refers to the right called the pursuit of happiness. Well, if you look at what our founders meant by that term, it included all the economic freedoms that we have given to us by God. We have the freedom to acquire and own and control property. We have the right to keep the fruits of our labor and not have the government steal them from us with the legalized plunder as they do so much today. And where does all that come from? How do we know we have that right? It's because in the Ten Commandments, the Eighth Commandment says, thou shalt not steal. And that's not just for you and I as individuals we shall not steal, but it's also civil government shall not take money from people that it does not have a legitimate claim to. And many people get a little confused there. Say, wait a minute, what do you mean? There isn't government taxes. Whatever the government taxes, it's legitimate? No. For example, very clearly in our Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 lists 18 things and only 18 things that the federal government is permitted to tax and spend for. If it's not on the list of 18, the federal government has no permission to tax and spend for any of those items. So take, for example, the Department of Education. Nowhere in that list of 18 items in Article 1, Section 8 is there any permission for the federal government to spend one penny of any taxpayer's dollars on education of any kind. You know, secondary, elementary, graduate school, none of it. And so every penny, and I believe there's billions in the budget that are spent in the Department of Education, all of that is theft. They're doing something illegal, stealing from the American people to spend money they have no lawful right to spend. So that's just one example of, we could cite many, many other examples of federal departments and whole budgets that entirely are nothing but theft, or what I like the way Bastiat in his excellent little book, The Law, he calls it legalized plunder. This is, I don't have the right to reach into your back pocket and steal your wallet from you, so I don't have the right to hire somebody else to steal from you to give it to me. Nor do I have the right to hire a civil government, a civil magistrate, to steal on my behalf from other people. So only the legitimate functions of government is it permissible for government to tax and spend for those purposes. Everything else is theft, is a violation of the Eighth Commandment. thou shalt not steal.
And let me just point out that we hear our politicians saying, well, we're just going to get a tax to raise the taxes on the very wealthy. Ladies and gentlemen, when they raise the taxes on the wealthy, I mean, do you think that the wealthy people like Warren Buffett are supporting us, Obama, because they want to pay more taxes? Every time they go about doing that, it always ends up you and I increase our taxes, and the wealthy find another means around it. Why? Because they buy and bribe the president, the executive branch of government. Do you remember the alternative minimum tax? They brought that in because the wealthy weren't paying their fair share, and you know what happened? The wealthy still aren't paying their fair share, but they use that to raise our taxes. They keep telling us, oh, it was just a mistake. How did that happen? We'll go right ahead.
And by the way, about 3 minutes here, I'll be able to switch to a landline, so I'm not sure the best way to do that, but you just let me know what that is.
All right, you go.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-37
in accordance with God's law. And you, neither you or I or anybody out there in the audience is intelligent enough to know what should be done. This is why we have to use God's law as the foundation for our beliefs. It's not what I say. It's not what David says. It is what the Bible says. And, of course, we go along with what the Bible says, why we're going to have a better society. We don't necessarily want to appoint a minister or a pope or anybody to run our society, but we look to God's word as the guide for the laws of our land. So go ahead, pick up the story there, David.
Well, so this leads to patriotism, as we said. I honor my country when it obeys God's law. I seek to change it when it violates God's law. And this, the result of this, is a republic. Republic is a form of government in which the law is supreme. No man is above the law. The president's not above the law. The Supreme Court's not above the law. Congress, nobody's above the law. The law is supreme, and we are represented in our political structure by those whom we appoint to represent us. It's not a direct involvement. The democracy is a direct involvement of the people in the lawmaking. All of this, of course, our founder said, is based on creation. There is a creator God, and it's he who gives us our rights, and he who has ordained the moral laws of the universe which govern any nation that wants to be blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and vice versa, those nations whose God is anything but the true Lord and God of the Bible. Cursed be such nations is the implication of Scripture. Well, in contrast to that biblical view that our founders built our country upon is the pagan view of law and government, or some might want to call it the atheistic view or the secular humanistic view. Whatever term you give it, it's really the opposite of the biblical view, where the biblical view says the state is divinely ordained. The pagan view says, the state, it really is God. It is God itself. And you might say, well, wait a minute. Who believes that the government is God? Well, many people on the Supreme Court believe they are God. After all, in a case like Lawrence v. Texas, what did they say about God's law? Which God's law says sodomy is a crime. Lawrence v. Texas is a Supreme Court opinion that claims to have struck down all sodomy laws in all 50 states across the country. What they said is very interesting to read. What they said about God's law is that it's immoral. Get that. God's law is immoral. And God's law, they said, is illegal. And God's law is unconstitutional. That's what they said. Now, if you claim that God's law is illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional, and you are the one who determines that that is the case, who does that make you? Well, it makes you God. You're above the God of the Bible. And you say the God of the Bible is irrelevant. We're the new gods. And that's actually what these wicked people believe. The state is divine. Well, if it were true that the state is divine, what would you say about the limitations of the state's power? There is none. After all, how could any one of us limit God's power and say, well, you know, God can't do this? And he can't. No, God's power is not limited at all. And so if the state truly is God, then it has unlimited power, unlimited authority. And again, look to Washington, D.C., and many, many examples of this, where they believe, they truly believe that their authority is unlimited.
Either that or they honestly hate the God of the Bible. They would do everything they can to destroy his word because they know it's good and wholesome. And they have intentionally, of course, undermined the very fabric of our society. And that's why they took God and prayer, the Ten Commandments, out of our school. That's why they're pushing the homosexual agenda. That's why there's so many people within our Congress and the United States Senate, like Senator Larry Craig, who is an open homosexual, and he's still serving there. And his friends and buddies in the United States Senate are keeping him there. I mean, here's a man who, you know, was caught in a public bathroom, engaged in terrible activities. But there are so many of the people within our government who are part of this undermining of the very fabric of our society because of a hatred of God. We find that the man who headed the National Association of Evangelical Christians with 30 million members, If you remember, they recently found he was a homosexual, he was a drug user. Everybody said, oh my goodness, he's got such a problem, we're going to pray for him. This was a wicked and evil man who was using his position as head of the National Association of Evangelicals to undermine Christianity. And the only reason he was there was because he had a lot of friends within the National Association of Evangelicals. They've infiltrated the Protestant Church. They've infiltrated the Catholic Church. They've infiltrated our government, ladies and gentlemen, and these people hate God. I really believe that that is probably the real reason for this. Rather than they want to be God, they hate the God of the Bible. And well, anyway, we'll be back with this in just a moment. Our guest this evening is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And David, if you are in a place where you can get to a regular telephone, why, this is a great time to do it.
Yes, I am in a regular telephone. So
we'll be back in just a moment. You want us to call you?
Yes, call me on the 757-2241 line.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when we need to get... we'll be getting Pastor David Whitney back on the other line, but you have to understand that you cannot make any sense out of what's going on today unless you understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And there really are forces out there that hate the God of the Bible. And, of course, we can say, well, these people think that they're God. Well, maybe they do, but you have to understand this intensive hatred for the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. And once you understand that, so much of what's going on really makes sense today. I mean, you try to rationalize what the Supreme Court was doing when they suddenly found that after almost 200 years that there was a wall of separation between church and state. And when I went to school, we had prayer in school. We celebrated Christmas. We celebrated Easter. We sang Christian songs in school. And, of course, God was acknowledged. And then, of course, all of this was suddenly taken out when they had Roe versus Wade. But you have to understand that the Supreme Court of the United States at that time was controlled by Masons. And these people belonged to a secret society intent upon destroying the Christian foundation of our country. And nobody will tell you that between 1941 and 1971, the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. And it was those Masons on the Supreme Court who drew God in prayer out of our schools. And if that's really true, why won't anybody tell you that? And, of course, they won't tell you. Some of them don't know. But some of them, of course, do know. They're afraid. And others are on the other side, and they're working within the highest echelons of our government at every level today. David, you're back on the line. Go right ahead.
So if the state is divine, or they hate God, then they claim that their authority is unlimited. You know, ridiculous things like some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. determining how much water you can flush down your toilet. Now, who gave them the authority to do that? They just took it. They didn't have to ask anybody for it. They just assume we have the authority to tell every American exactly how much water they can flush down their toilet.
I think even the worst case is the fact that now we have to use these mercury light bulbs, which are dangerous, potentially dangerous. Why can't we have a regular light bulb? Where did this Congress get the right to tell us we can't have regular light bulbs? We've got to use mercury-containing light bulbs when mercury-containing light bulbs are dangerous. We'll be back in just a moment with our guest this evening, Pastor David Whitney, here at the American at Radio Liberty. Well, David, you go right ahead. Before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners how they get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution and begin to learn about our Constitution and begin to teach others about our Constitution? What is the Institute? Why is it important? And how can people get in touch with you?
Well, all the things we've been talking about that we see as violations of the very founding that our founders put together for our country, that has happened in our country because most Americans do not know, and they've been lied to about what our founders believed and about what our actual form of government is. Most people believe we're a democracy. That's an absolute lie. The only way we can get back to a government that will protect our God-given rights is that we, the people, need to recover and rediscover
those founding documents and understand them, to understand the Declaration and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And that's what Institute on the Constitution exists to do, to train Americans in a truly American understanding of law and government. That is getting back to our founder's view. We were just talking about the biblical view, and that's the founder's view of law and government. And so at Institute on the Constitution, we put together various materials. Probably the most important one, though, is our host kit. It's a simple way in which anyone with any group of people can communicate these truths our founders believed and what they actually were seeking to structure when they created our constitutional republic. And that host kit is available either on our web store. You can go to Institute on the Constitution. Our web store is at iotconline.com. That's all one long word, iotconline.com. And right at the top of the page, you can click the store, and or actually there's a button there that you can click just to go directly to order a host kit. It will give you everything you need to conduct a study group in your community, perhaps in your church. We have many churches. I was just meeting with some folks who are hosting classes in their churches down in Virginia, and that's very encouraging because it is churches primarily that should be teaching people this biblical view, which was our founders' view of law and government and what they need to do as Christian citizens. If you don't have web access, and so or would prefer to order by phone rather than online, you can call us, and of course our offices close this time of night, but on the East Coast, regular business hours, our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And, Dr. Stan, as I was just sharing with the folks down in Virginia, it's very encouraging to see people taking this material to their local church or to the community. And the exciting thing there for those folks is they're planning a strategy in every county of Virginia to have a class being hosted and to basically take over the political structure such that they would require elected officials either to take our class or run, if they're running for office, either to take our class or if they won't take the class, then to pass a test, which is basically a compilation of what the course teaches, to prove that they have a biblical, that is an American view of law and government, that they truly understand the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. If they won't take the test or if they fail the test, then they will not be supported for office. And they have a strategy to try to spread that plan around the country. And we're just very encouraged by that because we know as people take hold of this material and then hold their elected officials accountable, we can take back our constitutional republic that's been stolen us by these wicked pagans who really do not have our best interest in heart at all. That pagan view that the state is divine and its authority is unlimited leads to state worship, which is basically to say, I cannot and must never criticize my government. My government does something wrong, I should never criticize it. Just shut up and do what you're told kind of attitude. And we see that increasing among even many conservative people that don't want to criticize things like the war in Iraq or don't want to criticize the actions of the government or the bailout or any of these things. Like, oh, how dare you criticize our government? Well, no, we should criticize it. The biblical stance is to say when our government violates God's law, we seek to change it, and we will not just stand by and let it go willy-nilly down the tubes. So state worship is the opposite of that. You're punished if you dare to criticize the government. And we see that in the kind of tyrannical systems of Russia as well as Nazi Germany and so on. All of this results in tyranny. Tyranny is when you have none of your God-given rights protected. Your God-given right to life, to liberty, to property, and on the list goes. When none of those are being protected by the government, that government is tyrannical. And that's what our founders said about King George III. He's unfit to be the ruler of a free people because, and they listed 28 things he was doing tyrannically, violating their God-given rights. Now, to see that the government stays within the boundaries that God has ordained. I like what Lord Acton, who was a historian of the 19th century in England, I like what he said, commenting on when Jesus made his famous statement, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Acton says, he, Jesus, gave to the state a legitimacy it had never before enjoyed, and set bounds to it that had never yet been acknowledged. And he not only delivered the precept, but he also forged the instrument to execute it. To limit the power of the state ceased to be the hope of patient, ineffectual philosophers, and became the perpetual charge of a universal church. Now here's an astonishing statement. Acton is, I think, accurately saying that to keep the boundaries upon the civil government that God has created, that God has said civil governments to do these tasks and not those tasks, and to keep the government within those boundaries that God has ordained is the job of the church. Why? Well, because it's the church that's supposed to be expounding the full counsel of God from His Word, and God's Word spells out what civil government's supposed to be doing and the things civil government is not supposed to be doing. Things like education. Read Deuteronomy 6. Education's the job of parents. It's not the job of the church. It's not the job of the civil government at all. And yet many Christians think, oh, well, yeah, education, that's the job of the government. It is not. And there really, Dr. Stan, the failure comes back to pastors, to, you know, my class of people, that we have failed to preach the whole counsel of God as it relates to every area of life. Therefore, we have failed to keep civil government within the bounds that God has ordained for it. And that needs to change. We need to see pastors, and that's the other encouraging thing to hear of pastors around the country who are beginning to wake up, pastors who recognize that they need to be teaching their people these things. And so we're encouraged as Institute on the Constitution gets into churches around the country, because that's where the change really, really needs to take place to affect the restoration of our republic. Well, when we consider the principles of law and what is law, our founders clearly look to the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word for law was Torah. And the word Torah really means to direct or point out or lead. When you come to the New Testament, the Greek word is nomos, which is a commandment or an assignment from a higher authority. And so law, if we were to summarize it, is really a rule of conduct backed by force, not just by custom, and based on higher moral authority, based on God's authority. So you would say the only authority civil government really has to enforce anything as law has to be based upon God's law. So a just law would be in concordance with, say, the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Okay, so it would be just for civil government to create laws prohibiting theft, all kinds of theft, not just stealing out of somebody's purse, but theft of intellectual property, so, you know, kind of copyright laws, and all those things become legitimate law because they are backed by divine authority. They're not just based on human beings saying, well, I think this is what's right. You know, I think you can't, we don't want you to allow you to cut down the trees on your property, so we're just going to make a law that says you can't cut down the trees on your property. It's like, wait a minute. What's God's law say about property ownership and control of property? Nothing about the civil government regulating and controlling private property. That's why it's private property. It's the individual who owns that. It's the family, and in the family jurisdiction that private property lies, not something that the civil government should be involved with. Well, the problem is that many Christians misunderstand a significant passage in the New Testament regarding civil government, and that's Romans chapter 13. If I could just take a moment, let me just read a few verses of Romans 13. This is verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he, that is the civil magistrate, is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Very clearly here, God's word is saying that the civil government is supposed to praise and encourage those who live righteous lives, that is, lives that are in obedience to God's word, and they are to punish those who disobey God's law, including potentially executing someone who has disobeyed God's commandments that's worthy of capital punishment. And it says there repeatedly in this passage that the civil magistrate is God's minister. Very interesting word, because in the original, it's the word diakonos, from which we get our English word deacon. So you can almost say that the civil magistrate is God's deacon, and therefore he is to serve God. That's what the word deacon means, a servant, a minister of God, serving God. And how does the civil magistrate serve God? By enforcing the law of God. What happens when the civil magistrate does the opposite? Instead of enforcing the law of God, they do wicked things like Roe v. Wade or whatever. These evil tyrants need to be put in their place. They need to be replaced, in a sense, and not allowed to continue to do evil because they're doing the exact opposite of what God has ordained civil government to do. So civil government's purpose, from the scriptures, is very clear: to restrain the exercise of sin, not to change people's hearts so that they're not sinful in heart, but at least in terms of their behavior, to restrain the exercise of sin, and secondly, to enforce God's standards of right and wrong. That's very clearly what the scriptures say here regarding human civil government. Well, there's one more purpose that Paul speaks of in his letter to his disciple Timothy. This is in 1 Timothy. Let me just read from chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. He says, first of all, I would that prayers and supplications and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So a third purpose there is to maintain order so Christians and others can practice right living, so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. What I think has fooled many pastors is the idea that if they don't have anything to do with the government, they don't criticize the government, they just leave the government alone, well, government is ultimately going to leave them alone. Not so. And we see the leading edges of this with the hate crimes legislation and so on that actually do threaten the preaching in the pulpit, saying, we're going to tell you what you can say and what you cannot say from the pulpit. That's ultimately what hate speech kind of legislation is heading towards. And the freedom to preach the gospel will be taken from us if we don't stand up and defend our God-given rights to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and so on. And this, I hope to convince many pastors across the country that even if it was just for their own selfish interest, that they hope to continue to be able to preach from their pulpit the whole counsel of God, what God's Word says about everything in life, that they would take a stand and they would resist the encroaching tyranny that in our day is quite evidently what's happening from the federal and many state government levels as well. Well, if we're going to recover the Republic, it's going to take many Christians who are actively working by sharing the truths that our founders clearly built our nation upon, and then taking the next step of saying we're going to hold elected officials accountable to the standard, which means we're going to be watching what they do, and if they refuse to abide by their oath of office, we're going to call them on the carpet on that, and we're going to work to get rid of them if they will not do that.
Now, we had a very interesting interview just last night. It was with a woman who was in Holland when the Nazis came in and occupied her country, you know, in 1940. And, of course, many of the people there, they were devout Christians, so they wondered, well, should we just go ahead and submit to the Germans, or do we have a loyalty to God's Scripture? And, of course, they rationalized what they were doing with their ruler, of course, was Queen Wilhelmina, who had actually gone to England, taken the government with her, all of her ministers, and she was broadcasting messages to the people of Holland to resist what the Nazi government was to do what was right, not what the Nazis told them to. And it was their rationale, and I think it was justifiable, that their real government was the Dutch government, not the usurpers, the Nazi the stormtroopers that had taken over their country. And in a similar manner, our loyalty is to our Constitution, not to the stormtroopers, these people who've taken over our government and are simply totally ignoring our Constitution. Unfortunately, I wish we could ignore them, but they are leading us from war to war. They're going to destroy our economy. Their intent is, of course, to destroy the moral fabric of our society. We have not only the right, we have a moral obligation to stand against them and to try to educate people about the origins of our freedom and, of course, the fact that our founders founded this country based upon God's law and the Bible, and that is why they limited the power of the central authority. so that people could be free and practice religion and everything else that they wanted to. And if a state wanted to have, you know, God mentioned in our schools, they had a right to. The federal government had nothing to do with that. In fact, the First Amendment specifically says Congress shall make no law establishing freedom of religion or abridging the free exercise thereof. Congress, not the state. Congress will not. And it was the wicked people, of course, in our Supreme Court, placed there to destroy the very fabric of our Constitution that outtook God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And until people understand that, and that we have not only a right, we have a moral obligation to stand for what's right, and if we don't stand up and be counted now, why, we'll be counted out, and our children one day will ask us, why didn't you oppose the tyranny when men were free? Go right ahead, David.
Well, we know that when elected officials are taking their position in office, they have to take an oath of office, and that oath is required by the Constitution. I had an interesting conversation with a senior advisor of the McCain campaign, Robert Heckman. This was a couple of weeks ago. I was speaking at a meeting that he was also speaking at, and after the meeting was over, I asked him one simple question. I asked him, has the senator, that is McCain, repented of his McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform bill? A bill that is egregiously a violation of the First Amendment. And he would not answer my question. He went immediately to the argument of the lesser two evils. Oh, Obama is so evil. Yeah, he is an abomination. I agree he's evil. But, you know, he's arguing, you got to choose the lesser two evils. And I tried to circle back, and he refused to answer the question as to whether the senator had repented, which tells me the senator had not repented of his violation of his oath before Almighty God. And he will stand on Judgment Day. Give an account for his violation of that oath that he took.
Well, our guest, of course, has been Pastor David Whitney. David, what's your telephone number?
It's 866-730-9796.
One more time.
866-730-9796.
Get the information from the Institute of the Constitution. It's vitally important. Well, David, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, as I was having that conversation with Robert Heckman, I realized I wasn't making any headway with him, and I wasn't angry or upset, so I just kind of...
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Declaration of Independence and, of course, the Constitution of the United States, we recommend it to you. You need to understand that the secret of the Constitution was the concept that it limited the power of the federal government. There were only 17 or 18 things that the federal government could do, but little bit by little bit, the wicked people took over control of our government and the media, and, of course, have expanded the power of government over every aspect of our lives. And, of course, to understand the wicked people, you must read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or watch the DVD, or preferably both, and reread the book several times. It has many important references in it. And then, of course, we do hope that, of course, you'll get our talk. It's called The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret, it's a DVD, there's a syllabus that comes with it, which you really need, so you can actually read President Bush's speeches and actually read where he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm, not once but twice. Who is the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? And then, of course, in his last inaugural speech where he talked about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is this new order of the ages which our founders acted on? And, of course, how is it to be fulfilled? It is being fulfilled, the new order of the ages. What is the new order of the ages that President Bush spoke about? You must get our talk on the for the Forbidden Secret to understand that there have been for thousands of years secret organizations out there that have all been working towards the establishment of a one world order. And starting in the 15th and 16th centuries, at least in the 16th century, why, of course, the plan was to make the United States this one world, the center of the one world government that would bring about the one world order and restore lost Atlantis. If you'd like to know more about that, you need to get our DVD. It's called The Atlantis Connection. You need to get the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. And then Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And you need to understand why there are zodiacs all over Washington, D.C. The zodiac, the symbols of the zodiac painted on the ceiling of every floor of the Dirksen Building. Why are we having the signs of the zodiac? That has to do with astrology. Well, of course it has to do with astrology. Nancy Reagan was going to the astrologer on a weekly basis and reporting back to her husband. And, of course, her husband was then abiding by the advice given by Joan Quigley, who was an astrologer. You need to read Joan's book. What did Joan say? What did Joan say is the title by Joan Quigley. Who was she? She was Nancy Reagan's astrologer, who was actually running the Reagan administration. Why, Ronald Reagan was a devout Christian. Was he really? Well, of course, you could certainly read Joan's book and then see what Ronald did. He gave us the biggest tax increase in all recorded history. He was the biggest spender of all time up until then. I mean, after all, when he took office, why, we had $1 trillion in national debt. When he left office, we had $2.6 or $2.7 trillion. He increased the national debt almost $200 billion every year. Of course, he's a piker next to George W. Bush, who started with a national debt of about $5.8 trillion. We're almost up to $10 trillion now, and we'll be certainly increasing the national debt about $1 trillion a year in the very near future, as they move to destroy the value of our currency and destroy our nation and merge us into a one-world financial system, a one-world government. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Don't forget our conference. It's going to be this Sunday at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and please pray for America and for Radio Liberty. Stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Chris Pinto. And I was just talking about Chris's production during the end of the last hour. His production, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and Riddles in Stone, and the important part that those two DVDs play in, of course, understanding what is going on in America, what is going on in the world today. And of course, Chris is working on another DVD, which will be available, we hope, in December. It's called The Eye of the Phoenix. The Eye of the Phoenix. And you go, of course, on YouTube. I just Google in YouTube, Chris Pinto, or YouTube and The Eye of the Phoenix, and watch the trailer on it. It is fascinating, Chris. In fact, I watched that trailer, and I could hardly wait to get hold of that. Of course, it's going to explain to us all the satanic and mystical symbology on the back of the dollar bill. When will that be available? Oh, let's see. Let's have to push the button there. Hi, Chris. There, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
When will the Eye of the Phoenix be available?
We're hoping in December.
All right, fine. Well, I'm hoping very much it'll be available too. And I understand you have Doc Marquis you're going to be putting on there.
Yeah, we've already interviewed Doc Marquis for the film, and I've been putting together his sections as well. So, should be very interesting.
I'm sure. Very interesting
guy.
Well, of course, I think it's important people actually understand the symbols on the back of the dollar bill. Why are they there? Well, we won't get into that because this evening we're going to be talking with Chris about a new DVD he just completed, and it's on Alfred Kinsey. And Alfred Kinsey was certainly one of the most evil men of the last century. And he was a sexologist, and he set out to destroy the moral fabric of our society, and probably the moral decline of our nation could be primarily attributed to the works and the teachings and, of course, the conspiratorial activities of Alfred Kinsey. So you pick up the story there. Who was Alfred Kinsey? Why is he so vitally important in tracing and tracking the moral decline of our nation?
Well, the name of our documentary is called The Kinsey Syndrome, and it really deals with the impact overall that Kinsey has had upon American society from the 1940s and 50s onward. I mean, Kinsey is considered the father of the sexual revolution. He was the inspiration for the gay rights revolution. He was the inspiration for, you know, the abortion rights movement, for the pedophile liberation movement. I mean, literally, a lot of people don't realize that in the 1970s there was a pedophile liberation movement where you had people that were much more actively campaigning for the right to, you know, adult child sex and so on, that adults should have the right to have sex with children of any age. And that movement has continued, even though it's more subdued today. But Kinsey had his sex reports that he published in first in 1948, the male volume, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, and then in 1953 he published Sexual Behavior in the Human Female. And what these two did was they gave the American public an impression about human sexuality that had been completely unknown. And it was likened unto dropping an atom bomb on American culture.
But of course, the thing was, it really wasn't true. In fact, I mean, he certainly acquired his knowledge about male sexuality by going to the prisons and interviewing a sexual pervert to the prison and saying, well, this was normal activity. He set out to give people a false impression on sexuality in America. And of course, he used that to try to destroy the fabric of our society. Go right ahead, Chris.
Well, you're exactly right, Dr. Stan. That's one of the things that we cover in the film, as we talk about, and we actually show interviews from some of Kinsey's own team members. Paul Gephardt admits that Kinsey used for his male volume at least 55% of the men that he used in the male volume were from the prison system. According to Wardell Pomeroy, who was another one of Kinsey's co-authors, they had interviewed 199 sexual psychopaths. I mean, they were seeking out sexual criminals, pimps, prostitutes, you know, people from the underworld of American society, and getting interviews from these people and then mixing them in with the regular male and ultimately the regular female population. And so it's very clear, even the strong supporters of Kinsey, and we show some interviews that Jonathan Gaythorne Hardy, one of Kinsey's biographers, admitted that his work was very agenda oriented. That, you know, from beginning to end, Kinsey had an agenda to change the morality of America, and that's what he's writing about. He's not just documenting scientific information; he's unfolding this whole philosophy about human sexuality. It basically says that all the boundaries of morality should just be removed, that they, you know, they're nonsensical. Kinsey was a Darwinist. He believed that man was just a more highly evolved animal. And so he would often refer to things in the animal kingdom, you know, where you'd have older animals that would engage in sex with younger animals, and that was proof that pedophilia should be okay. Things like this. But one of the things that we zero in on, we certainly talk about the information and how Kinsey, you know, really lied about this information. He threw out 75% of all the data that he collected. He only interviewed about 18,000 people. But according to the Kinsey Institute, he only used about 4,500 of those people that he had initially interviewed. And nobody fully knows which 4,500 he ended up using, but he threw out most of the rest of them. Dr. Judith Reisman, whom we interview extensively in the film, her belief is that the 75% he got rid of were probably people who represented the real average male and female population of America, and that they were probably much more moral.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Chris is pointing out that when Alfred Kinsey did his research, he threw out probably well over half, probably almost two-thirds of the interviews that he'd done. And he threw out the people who were normal, who were, you know, and he used the psychopaths, of course, he'd gotten interviewed in prison, because he wanted to skew the figures. Now, I think what's so vitally important is for the average American to understand who financed, of course, this work, and it was done by the Rockefeller Foundation. The people in the Rockefeller Foundation knew, of course, that Kinsey's work was fraudulent, and yet they financed him anyway, because they were simply wanting to change the sexual mores of our society. Why would the Rockefeller Foundation want to finance Alfred Kinsey? Well, that's a subject for another evening, but of course, those of you who listen to our programs know, of course, that there's a strong occult, a tie-in to the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller family, and certainly many of the organizations we talk about have funded by the Rockefellers. So they funded Alfred Kinsey, and that information has been carefully suppressed. They cannot let the American people know that it was the Rockefeller Foundation in tax-exempt money that was utilized to fund Kinsey, and Kinsey's objective was to just change the mores, the sexual mores of our society. And he sure did a good job of that, didn't he, Chris?
Well, he certainly did. In fact, we talk about the Rockefeller Foundation and their financing of Kinsey, and we talk about the Reese Committee. There was a congressional committee in the 1950s. I know, you know, something that you've talked about a pretty good bit, Dr. Stan, but the Reese Committee that came together to investigate under Congressman B. Carroll Reese, to investigate the tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Guggenheim, and then the Carnegie Endowment, because they had noticed that these foundations that were tax-exempt were taking their tax-exempt dollars and using them to finance people like Kinsey. But it wasn't just him. They were financing all of these, you know, different PhDs, scientists, researchers, and so on through the education system in America. But they were looking for people and supporting individuals who were adamantly opposed to traditional American values, our Judeo-Christian heritage, and so on, and who were promoting a postmodern worldview before postmodernism was finally ushered in. And that is the idea that there are no absolutes, that that everything is to be questioned, no matter how, you know, fundamentally we accept it in our Judeo-Christian society. Everything absolutely should be gone over and questioned as to whether or not we should believe it. And this is actually what Rene Wurmser is writing in his book. Wurmser was one of the lawyers for the Reese Committee, and he writes in his book Foundations that you carry, Dr. Stan, and that we talk about in the film, that this is what the Kinsey research was a part of, and that it had to do with the desire, according to Norman Dodd, who was the director of research for the Reese Committee, it had to do with the desire of these foundations to take control of the education system in America. And they realized that through education, by teaching children at an early age these different ideas about, you know, postmodernism and so on, that they could move the country slowly, one step at a time, away from our Judeo-Christian roots. And of course, Kinsey played a huge role in that, because Kinsey had been raised in a Christian home and came to resent, just had a, if you read the quotes on Kinsey, if you get Dr. Reisman's book, Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences, she gives a number of quotes and examples of how Kinsey had a really bitter, angry view toward Christianity and so on. because Kinsey struggled with his sexuality. He was a homosexual, bisexual, and he struggled with that early in life. And because he couldn't come to grips with it for whatever reason, he ended up, taking a dark turn and developing a very bitter kind of resentment against the Judeo-Christian view of morality.
And of course, not only that, but of course, he worked very closely with pedophiles. He actually utilized a great deal of scientific, so-called scientific evidence from pedophiles. If you read his books, or if you watch the DVD, you'll find out that Kinsey was actually very, very closely associated with a large number of pedophiles and saw nothing wrong at all with pedophilia. And I'll never forget having the opportunity to interview Dr. James Jones, who is primarily the best biographer, wrote the best biography of Alfred Kinsey, and we actually have my interviews with Dr. Jones, James Jones, in our four-tape set on Kinsey. And of course, Dr. Jones was very, very sympathetic with Kinsey at every step. And finally, towards the end of the program, I finally said, Dr. Jones, how do you justify Kinsey's support of pedophilia? And a long silence there at the other end of the line. And, of course, at that point, Dr. Jones had to admit that Kinsey had gone too far in his support of pedophilia. But, of course, Kinsey had a tremendous impact on many people's lives, among them Hugh Hefner, who started out, as a young Christian man, believing in Christian morality. And after reading Kinsey, he came to the conclusion that he'd been lied to. And that set Hugh Hefner on a lifetime of depravity. And we see him now at 77 years of age with a couple of, twin models, who are his consorts, and three or four other women who are with him all the time. He first published Playboy, intent upon destroying the morality of our society, and we can trace it all directly back to Hugh Hefner reading and studying Kinsey's work.
Yeah, Hefner read the Kinsey reports. Then there's Harry Hay, read the Kinsey reports, read what Kinsey had said about homosexuals, that 10% of American men were homosexual and that 37% had had some kind of a homosexual experience, all of which based on his prison data. And so Harry Hay reads that, leaves his wife and kids, and then goes off to start the gay rights revolution.
Championed pedophilia. In fact, one of his causes was the North American Man-Boy Association, NAMBLA.
Yeah. The gay leaders in the whole gay rights movement today, they try to marginalize Harry Hay and sort of keep him out of any up-to-date literature. But Hay, throughout his lifetime, not only supported gay rights, as you said, but was a very strong supporter of NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association.
And, of course, if you read anything about the origin of the gay liberation movement, you can always trace it back to Harry Hay. Maybe they don't want to admit it, but, of course, you read the books, and we have them written many years ago. Harry Hay, a disciple of Kinsey, was the founder of the gay rights liberation movement, which is having such a devastating effect on our society today, and destroying the lives of so many people who, if they really could intelligently accept that what they're doing is wrong, not only morally and physically, but spiritually, why they would return to a heterosexual existence, because God doesn't make a mistake. Some people may be more effeminate than others, but nobody has to live a gay lifestyle. That is a matter of choice, and it's not normal at all. It leads to early death in males. It leads to, one in every three lesbians is going to contract a breast carcinoma, but they never tell the women that. They don't want the women to know that their lifestyle promotes breast carcinoma and early death. And, of course, if you care about homosexuals and lesbians, they're going to tell them the truth. What they're doing, of course, is going to destroy them.
Well, something that I think is very important and that I learned through doing the research on this is, Kinsey's homosexual statistics, the gay community has clung to those statistics, the idea that, 10% and 37% and so on. But all of the later studies that were done, we talk about this in the film, show that it's not at all 10%. It's like 1% throughout the Western Hemisphere, in the United States and Canada, over in Europe and the Netherlands and so on. Whenever they've polled the male population about their sexuality, and this is in, you know, later studies in the 1980s and 90s, when people were not as inhibited about talking about this, where they were a lot more open to say, yeah, sure, if that's what they were doing. But it's 1% of the population throughout the Western Hemisphere confesses to being gay, and then it's like 2% that admit that they've had some kind of a homosexual experience in their lifetime. And that puts it in a very different perspective, I think, not only for people who are maybe, you know, getting involved in the gay lifestyle, but also for the rest of the country that has, you know, that is often beguiled into a sort of false sympathy for the gay rights movement because they feel like, wow, this is such a big issue and so on. And if people realize that it's really 1% of the population that we're talking about, and they're arguing that this 1% should now govern, you know, what we're going to be teaching our kids in schools, that we have to teach kids about gay marriage and to normalize the homosexual lifestyle to children at a very early age and so on. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think it's so important for people to understand that the power of the gay movement has never been their own power. It's been the power of the Rockefellers and the other people within what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, the spiritual movement that is using homosexuality and homosexuals to undermine our society. There are not that many homosexuals out there. How have they accomplished what they've accomplished politically and educationally? Why, they have very, very powerful friends, like the people in the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, who have a different worldview. And I fear that the homosexuals, even though they don't understand it, are being utilized to destroy this nation and ultimately to destroy themselves. And all hope for them. Well, David, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, one of the things that, to go back to...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter.
You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey Water Filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Would dare carry that for because of pressure that was put on them. The last thing, of course, they want the American people to know, of course, is the depravity of Alfred Kinsey and his involvement with pedophilia. Now, of course, we talk a great deal about child sex and child sex. Here in the United States, and they'll track people down. You know, they have pictures of child sexuality on their internet, certainly on their computers. But, of course, they've totally suppressed the fact that Alfred Kinsey was deeply involved with pedophilia and supporting pedophilia. And, of course, his flawed information that he puts into his books were being used, of course, to justify pedophilia. But they will not allow this DVD that was apparently, this video that was actually produced by Yorkshire Television, to be shown in America. Did you get any of the information off that DVD and put in your DVD, Chris?
Yeah, we show some of the clips of some of Kinsey's team members admitting to certain things that went on, and we show you where we set it up. It was called Kinsey's Pedophiles. It was directed by a filmmaker named Tim Tate. And we actually got an interview with Tim Tate that we include in the film as well. And he talks a little bit about the making of the film and what he went through and so on.
Is that DVD available here in the United States?
No. The only person I've been able to find it from is Dr. Reisman herself. But Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who supports Dr. Reisman's work, Dr. Schlesinger saw this film and actually wrote a letter to PBS requesting that they show the film, that it was very important for Americans to see this. Why? Because Kinsey, continues to affect our laws, our education system, our society. And so she wrote this letter, sent it in. PBS, of course, did not respond, still refused to show the documentary. I think it has to do with, if you read Rene Wormser's book, Foundations, in the beginning, Congressman B. Carol Reese, when he's talking about the Reese Committee, because one of the things we talk about is how the Reese Committee was investigating all the things being funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, and they started to investigate Kinsey and his research. And when they did, they were vehemently opposed by a congressman named Wayne Hayes. And Wayne Hayes threatened to shut down their entire operation if they didn't drop the Kinsey investigation.
Well, it wasn't really the Kinsey investigation. It was the fact that the Rockefellers were funding the Kinsey investigation. That was what they really wanted to shut down.
According to the way Wormser writes it in his book, what he says is, because they were investigating a lot of different things, but they didn't want any investigation into Kinsey. They had amassed a Kinsey file, and Wayne Hayes, when he found out about it, He said he went into a steaming rage. That's what we showed a quote in the film. Went into a steaming rage and said that every member of Congress would be adamantly against any investigation into Kinsey. But it was well known, Dr. Stan, that the Rockefeller Foundation was funding Kinsey. I mean, there are photographs of Kinsey meeting with the Rockefeller board members and so on. So that part was known. But exactly what it was that they were uncovering about that research, that's the part that Wayne Hayes didn't want anybody to get hold of.
And of course, one of the things was that, of course, that the Rockefeller Foundation knew that the Kinsey's research was fraudulent, and they continued to fund it. That of course, is unconscionable. Because, of course, when you really get into this very, very deeply, you begin to understand these people really wanted to destroy the moral fabric of our society because of the occult influence within the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation. But the major culprit with Kinsey was the Rockefellers. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I think part of it, too, was there was a guy named Dr. Albert Hobbs who was evaluating Kinsey's work and was talking about, even back then in the 1950s, how Kinsey was defending child molesters and how Kinsey was saying that child molesters could actually be beneficial for a child's sexual development and so on. And so this is what really put the Rockefeller Foundation on edge, because they didn't want this to get into the public view. And one of the things that B. Carol Reese writes about in the introduction is that he knew the left-wing media would completely oppose them. The New York Times and all the surrogates would shoot down any of the efforts of the Reese Committee and their findings.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Chris was just telling us about Professor Hobbs, who was investigating the Rockefeller Foundation and its corruption and Kinsey. And of course, basically, Hobbs was an assistant professor, as I remember, assistant professor at a school, university. He was called in by the man in charge of his department and told that, you know, because he had dared to do the investigation, the scientific investigation of this depravity, why, he would never be promoted. He might as well realize that. He might as well quit his job. He would never be promoted. And he could never, of course, have left the university. He had tenure. They couldn't fire him. But they never promoted him. And, of course, years later, when he retired, he was the oldest assistant professor in the country. Assistant is the lowest professor, assistant, associate, and then full professor. And years later, I had an opportunity of interviewing a Professor Hobbs' daughter, and she had written some books on education, and she told me, you know, how much her father had suffered because he'd had the courage to do the research and to tell the truth about Kinsey and about his pedophilia and about the Rockefeller Foundation. And because that is the sort of thing with academic freedom you're not allowed to do in America if you're a professor. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's Hobbs is, you know, one of the points that we try to make in Kinsey Syndrome is because we use a lot of the research that Dr. Reisman has done for the last 30 years, but we try to point out to an audience that Dr. Reisman wasn't the first person to recognize, Kinsey's pro-pedophile philosophy, that it's something that the Reese Committee had uncovered through Dr. Hobbs, and that they were trying to warn people about, but they were being, you know, they were being attacked, they were being hindered. In fact, Dr. Reisman, then 30 years later, when she was working for the Department of Justice and got a grant as part of a joint effort with the DOJ and the FBI to investigate the images in the child sexual images in Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler, which is another big part of the documentary. But anyway, she was going to investigate Kinsey because Kinsey had influenced Hugh Hefner. And Hefner had described himself and been described as Kinsey's pamphleteer. Even in the very first issue of Playboy magazine, gave credit to Alfred Kinsey. In the big 50th anniversary edition of Playboy, he did it again and did a big spread on Kinsey. And so Dr. Reisman believes that the not only the, you know, the whole philosophy of Playboy, but the fact that they put in the cartoons and the images.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Now, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Chris Pinto. And, of course, we're talking about his DVD on this Kinsey syndrome. Chris, is the DVD available yet? Certainly, would we be able to get copies of that for you to offer to
our guests? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have copies available even now. So it is finished. It's back from the presses. Anybody could go to our website if they want to at adelumfilms.com or .org or filmforjesus.org. And we certainly make it available there.
All right, fine. Of course, we will be carrying it through our ministry. Would you like to get your website out so people would know how to get the information that you have? You want to put in a plug for your upcoming DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix?
Absolutely. Well, for Eye of the Phoenix, I would recommend going to Antiquities Research Films, and that's arfilms.org. Just Antiquities Research, arfilms.org. You can watch the trailer for Eye of the Phoenix and read up on it a bit. It's going to be an exciting film.
You can just actually Google in, Eye of the Phoenix, Chris Pinto, or Eye of the Phoenix YouTube, and it'll go right there. It's a lot easier that way. That's how I found it fascinating. You did such a good job in that trailer. I could hardly wait to see the rest of the film. Okay.
Well, praise the Lord.
Well, it's exciting, but of course, right now we're talking about the Kinsey syndrome. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Certainly, there is no way to get copies of this Yorkshire television program here in the United States.
No, you know what? I tried to. I looked everywhere for it. If there's a way, I don't know how to get it. But nobody has it. I mean, you won't find it on Amazon, or I've never seen a shop that carries it anywhere. It's almost like it was sort of blacklisted out of the country. And any copies that are available are probably going to be bootleg copies or copies sold through Dr. Reisman. She has, from what I understand, the right to make copies herself and offer them to people, but at a bookstore or a video store somewhere, I've not been able to find it.
I think it's important people to understand that we have freedom of the press in the United States, which means when you control the press and the means of distribution, you can censor anything you want. You have the freedom to do that, and the truth of the matter is, the American people are not getting the truth about so many important issues. And when you understand that, you understand the importance of alternative radio programs such as this. And we do hope, of course, you'll want to get the material we offer and get other people listening and understanding that so much of our reality is created for us and so much of the truth is being kept from the American people. You're right ahead, Chris.
Well, I did want to say, we do show what I think are the most significant clips from that British documentary and a whole lot of other footage in addition to it. Footage that's been collected by, largely by Dr. Reisman for the last 30 years. I mean, we've got one of Kinsey's experts on the Phil Donahue show admitting that Kinsey worked with, trained pedophiles who were trained to use stopwatches and so on. And he's calling them trained observers and whatnot. It's a very disturbing sequence to see on the Phil Donahue show. But what Kinsey did, I wanted to communicate this, Dr. Stan, because this is what continues to affect our society today, these two things. What Kinsey did, he's working with these pedophiles. He's got them, recording data with these stopwatches and so on. And then when he met with the pedophiles, he would ask them, okay, how did the kids respond? And the pedophiles would tell him, well, they were screaming, they were crying, they were writhing in pain, they suffered excruciating pain, they had an abundance of tears, they were hitting, they were trying to get away, they would go pale. Some of them would faint, some would vomit. All of this Kinsey records in his Kinsey reports. He records the responses of the children. But Kinsey looked at those responses and he said, well, these are different types of orgasm. Orgasm that the children are having. And so Kinsey put all of this information about children who are being tormented in these different categories of different types of child orgasm. Now, while that's horrific all by itself, what he then did was he then went to the California legislature and to lawmakers across the country who were looking to reform laws for sex crimes and things like that. And he said to them, he said, you know, you've got these harsh laws that give these penalties to pedophiles and so on. You put them away for life and this kind of thing. He said, you know, that's just not fair because according to our scientific information, there's no evidence that these children are being harmed. Yeah, the children aren't suffering any harm. So it's not right that you should put these guys away for so many years in prison. And so as a result of Kinsey's lie to lawmakers, they lowered the penalties for sex offenders, for child molesters, but also for rapists as well. And this is significant. This is the reason why we've seen in recent decades so many of these guys will molest children. They go into prison for a year or two or whatever, then they're back out on the street again, and then they get caught again, and then they're back in jail for 6 months or a year. Then they get paroled, and they're back out, and they have these multiple offenses, and the public sits there, and we all wonder, how does this happen? And the answer to how it happens is Alfred Kinsey. And so that's the first horror story as a result of what happened with these kids. The second part is Kinsey said, he looked at, you know, the children, you know, screaming, crying, writhing in pain and so on, and said, well, this proves that children are, because they're having orgasms, right? Because they're having orgasms, this proves they are sexual from birth. And therefore, Kinsey said, they should be taught about having sex as soon as possible. And that was the foundation philosophy for sex education in America. That's why they started teaching sex education, because Kinsey had supposedly proven that children were orgasmic. They're having orgasms from a very early age. I mean, he's documenting children as young as 2 months old in his so-called scientific tables. Okay? And these things continue to drive the sex education movement. And one of the things that we show in the film is that, you know, Barack Obama, when he spoke to Planned Parenthood, talked about teaching sex education to kindergartners. And he says it's the right thing to do to teach science-based sex education. Well, the science that he's referring to, he may not know it, and I think there's a good chance he does not, but the science, but he's using the lingo from the sexology community, from Planned Parenthood and the human sexuality teachers and so on. The science that he's referring to goes back to Kinsey and these pedophiles that he worked with. That's the science. That's where it begins.
And of course, what sex education has done is to corrupt the lives of our children. And of course, what it was designed to do is just do that, to take away their embarrassment, to take away their modesty. And this is why, of course, so many of our young people have sexually transmitted diseases today. This is why we have 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. This is why so many of our young women are having intimate relations and abortions. Why one in every three, a young white girls is going to have an abortion. Certainly, why 70% of the black children are aborted. I should say 1 out of every 3 white children is born out of wedlock. 1 out of every 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. A direct result of Kinsey's sex education programs, which are being forced upon our children, over the objection of many parents in the public schools today. And we can trace it all back to Kinsey. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 30% of white children are born out of wedlock. 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. 60 million Americans have a sexually transmitted viral disease today, and that doesn't take into account the bacterial viral disease, the bacterial sexually transmitted diseases, the spirochetal sexually transmitted diseases, the chlamydia, the hepatitis B, all of these things, you know. A direct result, we can thank Kinsey. And, of course, the media cover up for it, and the people who financed Adolf, pardon me, who financed Alfred Kinsey, the Rockefeller Foundation. Mike, you got a question or comment?
Just a comment. I know that both of you have seen the video, The Children of Table 34. And in that video, the question is asked, where is the outcry from within the psychological community amongst the professionals? Since Kinsey's books are so commonly found on their shelves, but nobody, even from among them, the experts, is saying anything.
Well, the can I answer
right
that?
Go right ahead.
Well, the psychiatric community is from what I've seen of it, they're almost completely subdued by Kinsey right from the beginning, back to the 1950s when the Group for the Advancement of Psychiatry read the Kinsey reports, was completely influenced by them, and went so far as to recommend that children should be responsible for their own sexuality by age 7. This is back in the 1950s, and these were the people who influenced the model penal code that would be, you know, that would change American law across the country. But the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, on at least one occasion, has tried to shift pedophilia from the mentally ill category into the normal category under certain circumstances. And they did this with homosexuality back in the 1970s. This was a big push for the gay rights movement because homosexuality had been considered a mental illness, and then the APA changed it and they said, no, it's not a mental illness, it's perfectly normal. And that's been a driving force behind the gay rights movement. They're trying to do the same thing with pedophilia.
And I think it's so important for people to understand that this is not the attitude of the average psychiatrist. It is the fact that within medical organizations, whether it be the American Psychiatric Association, the American Philosophical Association, certainly the American Medical Association, the American Dental Association, people have gotten themselves into key positions at all of these organizations so that they can use the power of the organization to push aberrant ideas, ideas that really have no basis at all, in fact. And just as many dentists today are very concerned about their mercury, certainly many dentists are concerned about water fluoridation, but the leaders of the ADA are certainly in favor of it, and the leaders of the American Psychiatric Association are pushing these ideas on homosexuality being perfectly normal, and most psychiatrists know it's not normal, and they're trying to convince us that pedophilia is normal, and they know it's not normal. So you're absolutely right, Mike.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
God bless. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And go right ahead, Chris.
Well, one of the, one of the things that we talked about, I started to mention earlier with Kinsey and Hugh Hefner, and how Hugh Hefner had been, you know, beguiled by Kinsey's philosophy, as you said. He really was a normal all-American guy, and then read the Kinsey reports and was convinced his parents had lied to him and all this other kind of stuff, when in reality it was Kinsey who had lied to him. But then he launches Playboy magazine and so on, and one of the things one of the key piece of information that was, again, assaulted by left-wing media was when Dr. Reisman did her research with the Department of Justice, where she was brought in by the DOJ, or really the OJJDP, which is their juvenile division, in a joint effort with the FBI, because there had been this dramatic rise of sex crimes being committed by young adult men against even younger children. And one of the common denominator that they found with these young men was that they all seemed to have access to Playboy and Penthouse magazines. And then Hustler magazine was still a relatively new magazine at that time. And so Dr. Reisman came in, and she was going to investigate Kinsey's research and his influence over Hefner and the soft porn industry. Well, then she went to do her work at American University, and there was a big outcry, again, not unlike in the 1950s with the Reese Committee, an outcry against her doing any research into Kinsey. And so American University, who had the grant that had been given by the United States Congress, would not let her investigate Kinsey. It was very strange.
Now, I think one of the most powerful parts of your film was the Dobson, James Dobson's interview with Ted Bundy, who, of course, is about to be executed for multiple sex crimes against women. And as he talks about his addiction to pornography and the fact that, so many of the men he's met in prison were addicted to pornography, and he didn't mean to do the things. He wasn't excusing what he'd done. He said that these ideas were in his mind. He tried to get them out, and they were all these pornographic ideas and concepts that he'd gotten from pornographic magazines, and certainly the leading pornographic magazine during that era was Playboy. So, I thought that was just a wonderful, you here see several parts of that interview, and I think that is worth the cost of the entire DVD to see Ted Bundy trying to explain why he did what he did, not excusing himself. He's about to die. He's going to die within a few hours. He's trying to tell the American people and warn them against pornography.
Right. Well, that's exactly what Dr. Reisman was doing with the Department of Justice, and that's what her study had uncovered, because she had discovered this link, as did the FBI, between these violent crimes that were being committed, especially against children, and the porn industry. And so what she did with, she had to drop Kinsey, but she ends up investigating Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler, and literally starts back in 1953 with the very first issue of Playboy, and then brings it right up into the 1980s and goes page by page with every issue of Playboy and then Penthouse and then Hustler, and chronicles on every page the involvement of children as sexual objects.
Is that report available at all today?
It is. It underwent a lot. I have a copy here, but it is available. It was, it faced a lot of attacks in the 1980s because it was under the Reagan Commission's, Commission on Pornography and so on. Faced a lot of attacks, initially was discredited. Then what happened was, because of political and media pressure, so Dr. Reisman ends up publishing it herself. And the FBI embraced it. They believed her. The 7-Eleven chain believed her, and they ended up getting rid of Playboy and Penthouse magazines because of it. But then a number of years later, the DOJ, one of their administrators, reviewed the work and said, this work is perfectly legitimate, and they officially embraced it with the Department of Justice.
Well, our guest is Ben Crispetto, and we'll be finishing up in just a moment. Go right ahead.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease?
If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
About it, Penthouse and other depraved Christian magazines here in the United States. But the important thing was, the most important thing was that Kinsey went out actively to get the sex laws, the laws on sexual crimes altered here in America. But what people do not understand is the power behind Kinsey was never Kinsey himself. It was this dark spiritual force that we often talk about, the one that, of course, is so important as far as the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation are concerned, because many members of the Rockefeller family are deeply involved in the occult. Certainly, it was written by Barbara Marx Hubbard. Her book on the Revelation, the title actually escaped me a little right at the point, but the Revelation, the book of co-creation, and of course what it was actually put into its final form, it was actually funded by the Lawrence Rockefeller, a fund for the Endowment for the Humanities. And of course, Lawrence Rockefeller actually, or his foundation, his fund, his endowment, funded Barbara Marx Hubbard's occult work, which talks about the necessity of killing a quarter of the world's population, and she's really talking about the Christians there, and this is in the original translation of that, and we have that, we'll be glad to send you the pages if you'd like to. She talks about, that is not your job, to kill a quarter of the population, that is ours, for we are the riders of the Pale Horse Debt. And the Lawrence Rockefeller Foundation Endowment actually funded the publication of that book in its final form. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it was, of course, Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, who wrote the Earth Charter along with the occultist Marie Strong and certainly Mikhail Gorbachev. Yes, Mikhail Gorbachev is deeply involved in the occult, as is Marie Strong, as was Stephen Rockefeller, and of course the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller family behind Kinsey. Understand, it all fits together, that Kinsey inspires Hugh Hefner, and Hugh Hefner inspires people like Ted Bundy. This is not happening by accident. America is under attack today by dark and sinister spiritual forces. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear our talk on the Forbidden Secret and get the syllabus. We carry the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. We carry the book, Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences. We have a wonderful four-tape set on Alfred Kinsey And, of course, interviews with his biographer, Dr. James Jones, interviews with Sidney Judith Reisman, interviews with our good friend Colonel Ron Ray. Get the information. You need to have this at your fingertips. You need to begin to understand the true spiritual nature of the forces which are aligned against America and freedom today. And then, of course, if you are in a position to help Radio Liberty, give us a call. We need your help to do what we're doing and to expand our ministry. We have to reach as many people as we can to let them know we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological battlefield. But it's primarily a spiritual battle. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Again, the books we're talking about, Sidney, the foundations, their power and their influence, the four tape set, the Kinsey, the book, Kinsey, Crime and Consequences. And then, of course, remember our all-day conference is coming Sunday. If you haven't